Without further ado, I'll hand the meeting over to Graham.
Hallelujah. Welcome, Zoomers. It's always interesting when what happens before you have a chance to share illustrates what you want to share. So we can just close in prayer and go home. Just towards the end of worship time, Glenda gave me some words that it's the Lord's encouragement to us. I just want to read this to you. The Lord is for you. He's not and never has been against you. Allow him to embrace you today as a loving father holds his child. Allow him to restore you. Allow him to touch your heart with his love. He is for you. He is for you. Hallelujah. Thanks, Glenda. So what's happening there and what we've been seeing, it's been an interesting week preparing for this morning. Usually when I'm speaking, I have a clear understanding of the conclusion. How I get there is different, but the point of what God's trying to say to us. And that's really important, because if we don't go away getting the point from Father, then, you know, it's probably a nice chat, but might not even be that. But this week I've been struggling with, well, what does the Lord really want to say to us today? I wanted to pick up a little bit on what Ken has shared for the last 2 weeks and maybe add a third part to a three-part series. Thanks, Ken. Ken's marking me and watching online to make sure. So over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about sovereignty of God. Ken has been talking about the sovereignty of God, and then last week, Pentecost Sunday, he talked about the sovereignty of God in Pentecost. And that got me thinking a little bit more about, well, Pentecost came and went pretty fast, like most, you know, holidays and celebrations do, and we move on to the next one. But a lot happened, and that was a very important time for the church. A lot of people call it the birth of the church. And that's when the power of the Holy Spirit was given to the church, as promised. So I want to take a little bit more time and just go back there this morning. That's the Lord in our lives. These things going on, and sometimes we disconnect life and the Lord. What we were hearing was how God works through us, especially those examples and how God allowed you to talk to different people without plan, without expectation. God often brings people into our lives and you responded to it in the way he wanted. And that's really part of what I want to talk about this morning, and that is the gifts that we have in our lives. We call them spiritual gifts sometimes, gifts of the Spirit. We call them all sorts of things. But let's explore around that a little bit more. So picking up, as I said, the sovereignty of God, sovereignty at Pentecost, sovereignty of God at Pentecost. So this way I want to look a little bit more God's sovereignty in giving gifts. Now, fully understand I'm talking to the choir, but sometimes the choir sings the wrong note. But we definitely need choir practice. And it's good to refresh and review and to think a little bit about this. Also, I just wanted to say that, you know, whenever we share things and speak at the front, specifically me, because I'm sharing what I think the Lord has given us, but Romans 8, you know, verse 1 is so important. There is now no condemnation. You know, if we say something, oh, you've got to have gifts, you've got to do that, it's not condemning if you don't. And I'm going to hopefully explain some of that this morning. It's no condemnation that comes from Jesus or the scriptures. Conviction, yes, comes from the Spirit to drive us, direct us, correct us. That's important. And that comes from, you know, Timothy tells us that the scripture is given for reproof and direction and correction. And that's important. But we're not condemned. So whatever I say this morning, wherever you are on the spectrum of gifts to no gifts, there is no condemnation. And you know, there's many things in the church that we have to, you know, agree to disagree sometimes. There's only a few things that are absolute in the church. The first one is Jesus is the only way to salvation. And it was his life, death, and resurrection that paid the price for us. So a little bit of a story. Our son Andrew and his wife Christina are moving from their house in Markham out to Calgary. So they're going through this process of packing everything up and sorting out. Barry and Margaret are leaving, sadly. The next house group's in Portugal. And you go through this process of packing up and getting ready to go. You know, when we moved back from Australia back to Canada after a couple of years there working, it was the same. We're packing everything up and getting ready to leave. And then people say, oh, they're leaving. And I know you've warned us a few times, you know, say goodbye, but no big gifts. Because you have to carry them, you know, and everything's gone in the container. You know, and Andrew said the same. He said, oh, we've packed everything, we don't want stuff. And well-meaning people like to say, oh, here's a gift. That happened to us when we left Australia. We got given this kind of, 6x3 painting. Original artwork. And a £20 book on birds. And that wasn't money, that was weight. Beautiful, beautiful gifts. But all, at that point, we were up to carry on. And a container gone, everything had been packed up, and you know, you'll be the same. Everything's gone. Gifts. People give us gifts, and well-meaning friends sometimes give us inappropriate gifts. You should have seen us trying to carry this piece of artwork on and off a dozen planes. Took the principle of forgiveness is easier than permission. So I snuck it past the gate and got on the plane and started sticking it in the first class wardrobe, and the flight attendant would say, oh, you can't put it in there. I said, well, where can I put it? Oh, go on then. So we managed and we got it home. But anyway, gifts. We love to receive gifts, but sometimes they're not always appropriate. However, when Father God wants to give us a gift, it's always appropriate. He knows exactly what to give us and when to give it and why he's given it. But it is at his will and purpose. He does it when he wants to. And he does it for his purposes and his reason. Not because I want a gift. It's because he needs me to have a gift. Because he is sovereign. And that's where Ken was taking us last couple of weeks. The sovereignty of God. God is in control. Let's not forget that. He is the sovereign Lord. Now, as we get towards the end, I also want to point out that sovereignty doesn't mean we're absolved of anything else. Our role involves responsibility and accountability. So we can't leave it all up to God because he's sovereign. And we now get into this, well, you know, how much can you do? How much does he do? And that, we'll save that for another time when Ken speaks. But it's been my observation over the years in the church that one of the tricks of the enemy, Satan, is to bring imbalance where there should be balance. You look at what we call denominations. Most of them have started because they got off onto, this is my focus. This is what's important in the church. This is what we're going to do. And then someone come along and say, well, they're all wrong. This is what we should do. And you end up with another faction, another group of people. And you know, we're still doing it today, really. But the Lord is gracious. It's a trick of Satan. If he can take the word of God and push it off to one end or the other, then he's winning. And we're arguing amongst ourselves of which end of the spectrum is right. Well, the middle is right, where God put it. and so it's the same here. God is sovereign. He will give us gifts when we need the gifts, but we don't just leave it totally up to him. We have a responsibility and we have an accountability in that process at the same time. So whether you're a cessationist and all gifts are finished with the apostles, probably not, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But if you are, well, the Lord bless you. If you're at the other end and everything you do is a Holy Spirit-given gift, and if you can't do anything unless it is, then, well, God bless you. But let's see how God is sovereign, even in gift giving this morning. So when the disciples at Pentecost were waiting, you know, they hadn't too much to go on. They'd seen Jesus a few times in his resurrected form. That really encouraged them, especially the 40th day. They had those encounters with Jesus where he came and talked to them. And he taught them a lot. But they were still under this command from Acts 1 verse 8 that said, go to wait in Jerusalem until. And that's really where Ken was talking last week. Wait. And you know, were they in one accord in one place? One place was the conclusion from the scriptures. But they were waiting there. They had no expectation. I'm sure they weren't chatting to each other. Well, I think when the tongues of fire come, it's going to be okay. When the wind blows through this building, it's going to be fine. The Spirit will be. They had no idea. They said, Jesus promised something. We trust him. We'll wait. See what happens. Whoa! Was not expecting that. But in some way, Peter was expecting that. Because if we jump into his sermon afterwards, when he explained what was happening, he said things like, quoting the prophet Joel, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Peter knew the scriptures. He was able to stand up right away and say, they're not drunk. We're not drunk. This is what's happening. It's Joel. And a little side note here, as I was thinking about that, it is important for us to know the Old Testament, especially the prophets. Because if Peter hadn't studied the Old Testament, which was their scriptures of the day, that's what they learned, that's what they studied, that's what they knew, the Torah and so on, the prophets, then if he didn't know that, he would not have been able to stand up and explain what God was doing. So it's really important that we do understand the whole of Scripture, and we see Jesus in the whole of Scripture. So gifts are given by God for God's purpose. We must understand that gifts are given, not taken. All right? God chooses. God chooses what to give us as we want it, as we need it, as we come along. So let's have a look at kind of a key verse I want to focus on as we go through that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verses 4 to 6. And I want to read it through a few times, but in different translations, different versions of the Bible. Sometimes as we do that, we get just the nuances of the words as they come along. NIV says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. The New American Standard Bible says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. The Passion Translation, which is sometimes interesting in the way it uses words and often takes Aramaic and interpretations, but it says, it is the same Holy Spirit who continues to distribute many different varieties of gifts. The Lord Yahweh is one, and he is the one who apportions to believers different varieties of ministries. The same God distributes different kinds of miracles that accomplish different results through each believer's gift and ministry, as he energizes and activates them. New living. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we say serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So it's easy. All I'm doing, if you've got electronic Bibles, you don't need to go to your bookshelf and get 15 books off the shelf. You know, in the YouVersion anyway, you can just select the verse, do compare, and you've got as many versions as you like. And I find that really useful for studying and learning. You know, do have to be careful with some of the newer, you know, whether transliterations or trying to put an explanation into the scripture, because it's not all the word of God. So do be a bit careful. But read what we know is straight translation, read some of the other interpretations, and get the full meal deal of what's going on. Yeah, you don't believe it. Okay, so let's look at the version. It's from the classical Amplified version. As you know, what that did, it's basically the King James version, but then it has some parenthetical extensions added into it. So this one says, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. So three verses just looking at it from different angles, and they're all saying the same thing. And they're telling us the word of God. They have to say the same thing because God's word doesn't change. It's just, we can all think of synonyms for word. If I said a word, I'm sure we could come up with 3, 4, 5 different synonyms for a word. That's what's happening here. You know, a Greek word was used in original writing, but it can have different nuances and meanings around it. But anyway, what I want to pull out for that, which hopefully will be useful for us, it certainly has been for me in understanding gifts, in there you can see the Trinity. And I think it was a few weeks ago, it might have been Ken that said about the Trinity is in Scripture. Although the word is not there, the idea, the notion that God is three and the three is one is throughout the Bible, Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And that's where the concept, the doctrine of the Trinity came from. And here's a good example. As you read through Bible, you'll see very often God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all working together for things to happen. And here's an example in the giving of gifts. We see how the Father is working, we see how Jesus is working, we see how the Holy Spirit is working. And we need all three to understand the package of gifts. And really we can see it as a motivational gift, the ministry gift, and the manifestational gift. So let's just quickly go through some of those. God has sovereignly created you. God sovereignly created you. I just want that to sink in a little bit. A lot of us don't think we're quite up to spec. God sovereignly created you. Psalm 139 tells us, and it's often quoted because it is really, really important. David saying, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God sovereignly created you. There are no mistakes in this room. There might be some injured, sovereignly created people. So I'm not saying we're all perfect. One day we will be. But many of us are injured. Many of us are hurt. Many of us are damaged in some way. And God can fix that. But that'll have to be another week. God can fix that. But he has made you unique. He's made you special. He's made you for a purpose. And we can see one of those purposes. There are many, of course. But we see one of them in that Corinthians 12 passage. One of them is so that we can be used by him in the building up of the church and in the kingdom and declaring his word. Amen. And the God creating in me is the motivational part of the gift giving. When God made us, he made some who can really work well with their hands without their thumbs. He made some that really think well and can write. He made some that can develop and create things, artists. He made us all different. And none of us are the same. And that's what makes you special. Some people mockingly say, with tongue in cheek, God broke the mold after he made me. But it is true in a positive sense, not the negative that most people mean when they say that. God only made one of you. And it's on purpose, and it's necessary, and he's waiting to use that. And when he created you and when he created me, he's put in me certain things that motivate me. Certain things that motivate you. Some people, if they see someone in need, they must run and help. Some people, if they see a spelling error in a book, they must run and fix it. Some people, when the money is not adding up to pay the bills, must get the accountant. Everyone's different, but we're motivated by our own selves, the way we're created. And we need to recognize the way we are is the way God wants us to be. And not, well, that's my life and now this is God's life. No, he's created you the way you are so you can serve him the way you are. The second part brings Jesus into this picture now, and we're going to look at the ministry gifting. Jesus sovereignly calls us to a function, to ministry in his church. And we see Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well-known passage, we've often read it, I'm sure, we've often talked about it. And Jesus gave the gifts, these fivefold ministries, we sometimes call it. And nothing wrong with these frameworks to help us think it through. But I'm sure when God was thinking about gifts, creating people and building his church, he didn't call it the fivefold ministry. I think he called it, this is the way I'm going to empower my church. He said, I'm going to equip my people through these ways. And the word equipping is quite interesting as well. Most versions, again, if you read through multiple versions, you'll see most of them use the word to equip. We've sometimes taken that, and it's correct, but I believe limited. We've taken that to mean certain people can teach other people how to do things. That's the equipping. Well, I think it's more than that. I think it has to be more than that, because if one is a teacher and a few are the learners, then where's the work getting done? You know, we're still in school. We've got more to do. I like the older translations. You go to the King James or the New King James, they used the word perfected. And it's interesting because the Greek word that's translated here, it's only used once in the Bible. So it's hard to see how else it's been used and put it in context. This is the only context. The word is katartismos. I'm getting better on my Greek. Or something like that. And it means this equipping and developing and providing. But the word perfecting that was used kind of implies and gives the idea that through equipping, through preparation, we're now complete. We're now perfect in the ministry that we're called to. And I think that is really what the meaning is behind this, is, okay, Christ himself gave these ministries to equip his people, or to perfect the ministry, to perfect the people that are there. Equipping is simply providing the tools to do a task, to providing the equipment. That's what we mean when we say, well, are you equipped to do that? You know, do you have the tools? Whereas, and you know, there's different ways of looking at the same thing, as we often say, what emphasis do you put on the syllable? And perfecting, to me, is making complete. The correct tools or equipment, the ability to use them, and the expected results. And that's the perfection, that's the completion that the church needs. And Jesus has given those gifts. And through inspiring the writer of the Ephesians, you know, Paul writing instruction to the Ephesian church, the Holy Spirit said, well, just put it into these groups and that'll help people hang things off it. I don't think he was fixing a taxonomy of things. It's ministry that needs to happen in the church, and we are complete through that, through the grace of Jesus giving us these gifts. So the third one, just to keep going here, the third one, Holy Spirit, is in those three verses as well. And Holy Spirit sovereignly empowers us. And we can read there in verse 4, and again, different translations put words differently. I was just trying to find a different one here again. But in the King James Version, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge, and lists some of the gifts that could happen of speaking the word of God. But all these work to that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In the NIV, it says to us, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And to one is given through the Spirit, message of wisdom. And it goes and lists them all again. So there we see the word manifestation. That's our third area, third level, so to speak, of gifting. So we have our motivational gifts. That's the way God created you. We have our ministry gifts. That's the calling that Jesus has put on your life to serve in the church. And then we have the manifestation gifts, which is what everybody thinks are just the gifts of God for the church. They are really important and we need them. Remembering even the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit are given and not taken. But we have an accountability and we have a responsibility. I'm responsible to seek them and to be available when God wants to give them. They are given to me. I'm accountable to Father to process it and to deliver it correctly. You know, so I have a role to play. His gifts may not come if I'm not listening. I'm not ready. I'm not waiting. So it's not sovereign in the sense I don't do anything. It's sovereign in that he chooses what, when, and how that comes along. So this morning, we're not going to do a gift test. I know you all say, oh, I hope we do a gift test. They're useful, but I do find them a little limiting. And it didn't take me very long when they first started coming around, which probably, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, these people started talking about gift test. Find out what your gift is in the Lord. It doesn't take much to look at the questions and work out what you want to be. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if I pick B there, that's going where I want to go. So they have some value, but I think they can be very limiting. And can we really tell God what gifts he's giving? Yeah. I believe in Scripture. I believe it's absolute. I believe it's the Word of God. But when we take a list and say, this is it, Lord, you can't give me anything outside this list, I think we're doing a disservice to God's working in our lives. If he wants to invent a new gift that never got written in Corinthians, I'm happy with that. If it's the Holy Spirit, that's what we need. And that's when he manifests himself through us. We trust him. We trust in submission to the Holy Spirit. That's our role. We're waiting. Lord, you've gifted me. I'm this type of person. You made me this way. You know that my best, you know, manifestational gift with you is to go and help somebody. Yeah, we got the gift of helps listed somewhere. Some people, and if you take the fully extensive loaded gift list and get the Old Testament, well, there's the gifts of craftsmanship in making the temple, building the temple. You know, God gave gifts to those people to create the temple and build the temple. So there's a whole range, and I think generally, it's not always true, I'll say that in a moment, but generally, the ministry, the manifestation fits with our motivation. So if I'm made in a certain way, God's going to use me in that way because that's why he made me in that way. He wouldn't make me an accountant and expect me to go farm a field. Now, sometimes he does. And sometimes he'll say, forget all that. Here's the power. Here's the gift. Go do it. And we better be obedient to that. But generally speaking, he's made you in a certain way because he wants to use you in a certain way, and the Holy Spirit will empower you in a certain way. And I think we need to understand that. Because the worst thing I can do is wish I had someone else's gift. Guilty as charged. Especially those that look pretty dramatic. Yeah. Now Ken shared with us last week about one time how that he doesn't often prophesy, but then let's hold that thought for a moment. And then one time he was praying for someone, he had the word of the Lord spoken over them, and it was exactly right. Now that's how the Holy Spirit manifests himself through us if we're ready, available, and in the right place. Maybe what you shared about the shops and the people you met with. Your disposition may be, I'm willing to talk to people. I'm more extrovert than introvert. And you turn to people in the store and you start chatting. The Lord says, okay, now's the time. Holy Spirit comes, he gives you a word. Do you say it? You don't say the person at Dollarama, thus saith the Lord. You say, hi, how are you? I think, da-da-da-da. And they go, wow. Because that's the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit through you at that point in time. We don't have to use fancy words, King James or otherwise, Greek or Hebrew. Just be yourself because God created you and be empowered by the Holy Spirit in the way you go. What's important, so let's begin to wrap up here. Seeking the gift giver rather than the gift. Amen. We've all done it. Well, actually, no, it was another church I was at. I've done it. You think, oh, I wish I could prophesy. I wish I could lay my hands on the sick. And then let's step back a moment and think about the times the Lord has used you. That probably was prophetic. that prayer and someone was restored, that was a gift of healing. That time where you just helped somebody move house, that was an anointed gift of helps. Because you went out of your way and God used you. So there's all these things. But don't seek the gift. Seek the gift giver. And he will give you what you need when you need it. And if we never put ourselves in a place where we need it, you'll never get anything. If you want something, be prepared. Stand up, confess the Lord, I'm weak, but you are strong. And start doing what you believe the Holy Spirit is telling you to do or showing you to do. So I started by just saying that the disciples were in the upper room waiting. And that's really where we need to be continually. Not because it's never happened, but because we want the next time to happen at his time and his place. So we're continually waiting on the Lord. So perhaps can the music come back? And I just want to lead us for a little bit through some prayer, where we can listen to the Holy Spirit, because I believe he's talking to you. I know he does. He wouldn't waste an opportunity like this where we're sitting down reading the word, wanting to hear him. I don't think the Lord would say, well, I'm not going to bother today. I think he's speaking to us. I think he's telling you something that you need to know. He may be encouraging you in something. He may be saying the word that Glenda brought. That was Glenda bringing a gift. You know, we see Glenda, we know Glenda, we love Glenda, and we can see the way she's created. We can see what motivates her. You know, she's creative, she's a musician, she's singing, and the Lord uses that in her ministry. And then this morning, perhaps without even realizing it, the Lord said, here, I want you to share this with everybody. And she wrote it down and brought it to me. And we're able to experience how the gift of the Holy Spirit was exercised. We're all edified and encouraged by that word. Because Glenda was available, willing to be accountable and responsible for the word you brought. So thanks for that, Glenda. Those that shared, and that's why I thought it was really neat we did at the beginning. You know, when you stood up and shared something, did you see that as a gift, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit talking through you, or were you just gossiping? You know, the Lord works. And the church, really, because Satan's trying to influence us to get our eyes off the Lord, but the church has tried to make things technical, tried to put labels on everything. And God doesn't always work that way. But he does work. There's an encouragement in this church. We believe in the use of the gifts. We've exercised some this morning. There's a gift of music. There's a gift of worshiping and declaring the honor and the glory of the Lord that draws us into his presence. God wouldn't create someone who's not musical, hi, and have you play the piano. Now it may happen. It may be a total miracle. Someone sits down and does it, and that can happen. But usually, so I've made Nava. She's beautiful. She's creative. She can play. I'm going to nurture her through her youth. She'll learn the piano. I'm going to call her to a ministry of music, of leading worship. I'm going to train her. And now when you get there, you don't just sit there, well, I've got a degree. I can play the piano. No. Lord, you've got me this far. I need your anointing. And when the worship leaders come and sit at the front and stand and pray and sit, play and sing, they depend on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We depend on the anointing to come because we need to be drawn into his presence. But it's not only up to the musicians. It's not only up to those that share the word. It's up to all of us. When we come together, we need to say, Lord, what are you giving me today? From who I am, for the ministry I've been called to, what is the manifestation that you've put in me now? Don't create it, though. Don't generate your own one. If nothing is there, nothing is there. But we all have a responsibility. So, Lord, we thank you that you designed, you created, and you prepared such a wonderful concept as the church, the ecclesia, the community of believers. And Lord, I thank you that as we come together, you've empowered us in many ways. We have the power of your Spirit to have authority. We have the power of your Spirit to encourage, to build up those that are in need. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. You've drawn us together for a purpose, for a time such as this, because you want to speak to us today. You want to declare into our lives something afresh. You want to remind us of the things that you've spoken to us in the past. You want to encourage us. You want to confirm for us the way we are created. Everyone is perfect in your sight. Lord, forgive us where we hold on to hurts that take us away from your creation, where we're damaged and we need your healing. Lord, come, bring healing in those cases, I pray. But Lord, we thank you that you have made us. Jesus, you've called us to your church. You've called us into ministry. You've called us to serve, to be the diaconate that can serve you and be your people as we are unity in one. And Lord, without your Holy Spirit empowering us, without the flames, without the wind, without the power that comes from you, we are no one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stir up the gifts, as Paul said to Timothy. Stir up the gifts that are within us. Stir up that we might go out with authority into the world, that we might take your kingdom and bring your word, bring your release, bring your power, bring your healing to those that need it, Lord. Thank you, Lord.